As you're finding your place, you can take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. And we will be there momentarily. Of course, the book of James has commonly been referred to, rightfully so, as the Proverbs of the New Testament. Has with it many practical applications for how to live the Christian life, and that is very fitting for the series we've been in over the last several weeks since the beginning of the year, looking at the thought of Bible principles for daily living. And this morning, we're going to continue in the same vein as we did last week with the thought, the idea of time management. Of course, last week we looked at the importance of time management in the house of God, how that the house of God must be a priority in the life of the believer. It must be a priority in the life of the Christian. And now this morning, we find ourselves, of course, last week we deviated from the original thought, and this week we get back to what originally we were going to look at last week. And, you know, oftentimes we wake up on any given day and we ask the question, well, what am I going to do today? What does my day look like today? And the simple truth of the matter is that instead of waking up and asking, well, what am I going to do today? We should be asking ourselves, what does God want me to do today? What does the Lord want my day to consist of? And that one change, if we just implemented that one change in our perspective, it would transform our time, it would transform our lives, where it would be something where we spend into something that we steward. Because everything that we have, whether it be our treasure, our talent, our time, whatever it is that the Lord gives us, the Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above. Everything that we have comes from our Heavenly Father. We need to be wise stewards of what it is that He gives to us, and that includes our time this morning. So you found your place there, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And here in James chapter 4, again, another short book of the Bible, another short chapter in a short book. And this here, chapter 4, this is James, and he's dealing with rebuking worldliness here in these 17 verses. And in verses 13 and 14, we see that he is telling us this is what the world says, but this is what you need to know as a believer and as a Christian. So you're there, James chapter 4, and notice, if you would, verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain." And here's the verse we want to focus on, verse number 14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And I want you to focus in on that question. For what is your life? And that's what we want to see this morning. Just some principles of time management. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Father, we thank you for just who you are and for being such a good and gracious God. And now, Lord, we just thank you again for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your words, see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. And now, Father, we just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to say those things which need to be said, and help me to refrain from those things which need not be said. And Lord, may the message this morning be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these your people. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, we pray that not leave this church without getting it settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And then, Lord, if there's just someone here this morning, they need encouragement from you this morning. They need encouragement from your word. We pray, Lord, they'd find that encouragement and that, Lord, as we leave, that we will be able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Now, Lord, just meet with us in a special and real way. Bless the remainder of our services, our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we see here James, he does not begin with advice. He begins with reality. He's teaching us and showing us that we do not know tomorrow. That you only have one life. That life is brief. And that brief life will pass and pass very quickly. Before you know it, it will be gone in the blink of an eye. And there in verse number 14, the Bible says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? And then you see what James calls it. He says it is even a vapor. That word vapor here speaks of a breath on a cold morning. If you came out this morning, as you were maybe going from your house to the car, if you didn't have your face covered with maybe a scarf or something, and you just breathed into the cold air, you maybe saw your breath as you took that breath, but then that breath just vanished away. That's what this idea, that's what this word vapor means here in James 14. Visible for a moment, and then poof, it's gone, never to return. And what Scripture is reminding us of here this morning is that life is not long enough to waste. Life is not long enough to waste. And yet, so many people live as though they have unlimited tomorrows. Especially young people. I know when I was younger and I thought I had my entire life ahead of me, you know, I thought, man, I'm never going to get old. And now, this morning I wake up. Keep in mind, I'm only 35, 36 years old. But I woke up this morning and I kind of groaned as I turned and put my feet on the floor. And Mandy leans over and she says, are you okay? I said, oh, my back just hurts me this morning. And just a couple years ago, it didn't hurt. And I know it's not the bed because we just got a new bed. We just got a new mattress. And there for that first week or so, that new bed, that new mattress, you lay down and man, that thing feels like it's doing wonders, like it's just repairing whatever it is that's wrong. But we live, and so many people live as though they have unlimited tomorrows. But here's the truth, the reality of the matter. God has given each one of us just one life. He has given us all the same 24 hours in a day. He has given us all the responsibility to redeem the time that is ahead of us. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So there are several thoughts I want to give to us this morning about time management. Number one, life is short. Therefore, the time must be redeemed. Life is short. Therefore, time must be redeemed. Again, Ephesians 5:16, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word redeem means to buy back, to rescue from loss. Paul is not saying that time is neutral. He's saying that time is under attack. And listen, this morning, Satan, the devil, he knows that life is short. He knows that his time is short. And that's why he never takes a vacation. That's why he's constantly seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible tells us he's as a roaring lion roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants to take you as a Christian. He wants to devour you. He wants to chew you up. He wants to spit you out. He wants you to waste the little time that you have. And he wants you to waste that time not living for God, not serving God, and just wants you to use it on your own fleshly desires, your own worldly desires. And if he can get you to do that, then one of his greatest weapons is distraction. If he can just distract you from what it is you're supposed to be doing, he will do that every single time. And life, it goes by faster and faster than we expected would ever go by. You know, there are people who, they reach a point in life, they look back on their life and they look back at it oftentimes with surprise at how quickly the years have passed. After decades of living, after decades of working, after decades of raising families, they often say the same thing, I can't believe where the time has went. Or they look back on the time and they say, where has the time gone? Life seems so full and life seems so busy. And yet suddenly the years are gone. And many people share that same reflection when they pause long enough to look back. And if we want our lives to count this morning, we must make our time count. But not only that, secondly, we see that time should be used for things of eternal value. Time should be used for things of eternal value. Matthew 6, 19 and 20, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now that passage is often applied to our talents. That passage is often applied to our treasure or to our money. But I believe it absolutely also applies to our time. Every single day when you spend time in God's Word, when you open your Bible and you read your Bible, that has eternal value. Every single day when you take the time to spend in prayer with your Heavenly Father, that has eternal value. Every person that you witness to, every person that you share the gospel with, every person that you perhaps have the opportunity to lead to Christ, that you win that soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, that has eternal value. Every act of obedience that is done for God has eternal value. And listen, God, He gives us many things in life to enjoy. He does. We all have our hobbies. We all have our things that we like to do. And God never says that we can't have those things that we enjoy, but the eternal priorities, those are what must come first. And the best time to spend with God is early, when our minds are sharp, when our distractions are few. I know when I first wake up, that's what the very first thing I have to do is, because if I go and the day gets started, before I know it, I haven't opened my Bible, I haven't prayed, I haven't spent time with God. And when I finally do get to open my Bible, it's to prepare a sermon or to prepare a Bible study. And even though that's good, I have to make sure that I am separating the two. I have to make sure that when I read my Bible, it's for my edification, for my growth, for my spending time with God, and not just to prepare another sermon or not just to prepare another Bible study. So we need to make sure we get that time in with God when our minds are sharp, when the distractions are few. But then thirdly this morning, we see that our time must be done decently in order. Our time must be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. We serve a God who is a God of order. Our God is not a God of confusion. That's why, listen, every Christian should have a schedule. Every Christian should have goals. Every Christian should have a to-do list. And listen, this is not carnality. This is obedience. Because a schedule, it helps us to decide, well, when are we getting up? When are we going to rest? When are we going to work? When are we going to serve God? And the truth is, if we do not schedule spiritual priorities, then the loudest things in life will consume our time. And oftentimes that's the case anyway with living for God. Oftentimes the things that are the loudest consume our lives. And listen, God, you'll find out very quickly, God does not scream for attention. God's not going to come and bang down your door for attention. But you know who does? The world. The world comes and the world bangs your door. It wants your attention. It wants you to do this, go here, be this, do this, and so on and so forth. And meanwhile, God, he's just there and he's waiting for you to spend that same time with him. But then fourthly, we see that our time must include periods of rest. Look, if you would, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, way back in the beginning of your Bibles. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And then notice there, if you would, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." And then notice, if you would, Mark chapter 6. Gospel of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And notice verses 30 and 31. Mark chapter 6, verses 30 and 31, the Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." We see here that God, the God of all creation, the all-powerful God of the universe, he rested on the seventh day. Not because he needed rest, but to teach us the principle of rest. And listen, Sunday is still the Lord's day. It doesn't matter how many NFL franchises exist. How many? And listen, the Eagles—they're now out of the playoffs. They're not. I guess the Seahawks. I'll be rooting for the Seahawks next week. You know, because they're another form of a bird. They're a hawk. But the Eagles are out of the playoffs, and so this is especially true for me. I could care less. I saw another pastor. We were having a discussion on a pastor's group, and he says, "Yeah, you know, On Super Bowl Sunday, we cancel Sunday night service because we have a bar right across the street from the church, and the cars, they come and they get all the parking spots, and so there's no parking left for us." And then another pastor chimed in. He said, "Well, that would be the day we have church all day, and then make the people at the bar go and find other parking spots." And so I was just watching this back and forth, and I'm thinking, well, you know, Eagles are out of it, so I don't care. But, you know, the Sunday is still the Lord's day. And Jesus said here, "Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while." And Sunday should be that time that we come apart and we rest. I remember we had a fellow at the church in Philly, And man, he got so hot under the collar one day because there was some work done that needed to be done downstairs in the bathroom, and pastor came along and he told him, "No, that can wait until Monday, because unless it's an emergency, we don't work on Sunday." And that's a good principle. If it's not an emergency, it can wait until Monday. "Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while." And scheduled rest allows us to continue faithfully. And listen, the truth of the matter is that because if we don't come apart to rest, eventually you're going to fall apart. Eventually, you're going to burn out. Eventually, you're going to be running on fumes. You're going to be running on empty. And so we need to take this and put this principle of rest into practice. You know, on Sunday afternoons, Manny and I will go. We'll have lunch after church and then go home. And there's one thing I love to do on a Sunday afternoon. I love to take my pillow. And I heard a preacher call it one time, pillowship. I love to have fellowship with my pillow. I go home, I take a glorious nap, I wake up, and you know, sometimes you get such a good nap, you wake up, you forget what day it is. Boy, those are the best type of naps right there. You just forget, I wake up and I look around, and you know, we have those room darkening curtains at home, and when it's cloudy out, best type of naps, best type of days. But it's a Bible principle. We need to come apart and rest. But then fifthly, we see that our time must be prioritized by season. Our time must be prioritized by season. Ecclesiastes 3:1, the Bible says, to everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. Now, that's not talking about weather. You know, right now we're in the midst of winter. I was talking to Kenny before service. I told him this is perhaps the coldest it has been since we've been back in Pennsylvania. I mean, this is some cold. And I texted a friend this morning. I said this is beyond winter. This is now harassment. This is now a hostage situation with how cold it is. And we left the house this morning to walk over to church, and it was snowing again. Not a lot of snow, but just enough to, you know, cover the walkways and the curbs again and so forth. But that's not what this verse is talking about. It's talking about seasons of life. And, you know, a dating season looks different than a newlywed season. You know, when you're dating, you know, it's all fun and, you know, nothing to worry about, no life to worry about, no, you know, no bills, no job, no, you know, none of that. But then a newlywed season comes along and that looks different than dating. And now you have bills and you have a job, and eventually the newlywed season goes to the parenting season. And now the parenting season, it looks different than the newlywed season. Because as newlyweds, you're all lovey-dovey and, you know, you're all in love and you can't wait to tackle life. And even though the bills and the work has come, but now added into the newlywed season, now it's two people that didn't know what they were doing, and now they're adding in a third little person that the little person doesn't know what they're doing, and they're relying on the two people that they don't know what they're doing to know what they're doing. And now the parenting season looks different than the newlywed season. But then the parenting season looks different than the empty nest season, because now that little person has grown up. They've grown up into their toddler age, to their teenage age, to their college age, and now they're an adult, and now they're out on their own. They have their own place. Perhaps they're dating. Perhaps they're going to get married. Perhaps they're going to add some kids in after marriage, and now they're going to be in the same season you were, and now they're going to be going through the same season you were going through, but now you're going through the empty nest season. But each of those seasons requires different priorities. And trying to live in yesterday's schedule will cause today's struggles. Trying to relive what happened yesterday will do nothing but bring struggles today. And God holds us accountable to be faithful, not where we were, and not where we hope to be, but God holds us accountable for where we are. Right now, today, where are you today? That's where God's going to hold you accountable. That's where God's going to hold me accountable. Not where we wish we were, not where we wish to be, but where are you now? What season of life are you in now? That is where God is going to hold you accountable. And then number six, we see that our time must be spent on the task at hand. Our time must be spent on the task at hand. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Every task that we do, no matter how big or how small, if God put it in your hands to do, every task matters. If God put it in your hand, if that means you work in the nursery, that task matters. You clean the church, that task matters. You take out the trash, that task matters. You teach a Sunday school class, that task matters. You greet people as they come into the church, that task matters. You witness, that task matters. No matter how big or how small, that task matters. Ephesians, the Bible says we are members one of another. There's no VIP members. There's no lower class members. There's no middle class members. There's none of that. Every task that we have to do, if God gave us to do it, it matters. Nothing done for God is insignificant. Nothing done for the Lord is insignificant. And then seventh and finally this morning, we will give an account of our time. We will give an account of our time. Ecclesiastes 3:15. God requireth that which is past. God requireth that which is past. Even wasted time will be required of us. How many of us, we're all guilty of wasting time? You know, what's the definition of procrastination? I'll tell you tomorrow. We're very good at wasting time. We all, but here's the truth. We always find time to eat. We always find time to sleep. We always find time to scroll. And listen, if you're on Facebook or TikTok or whatever the case may be, YouTube, and now they have those little reels. You know, one stops and then the next one pops up. And, you know, you just keep going and going and going. It's very easy to waste time. But we find the time to scroll. We find the time to talk. But often we struggle to find time for prayer. We struggle to find time for reading our Bible. We find it a struggle to find time for witnessing and sharing our faith. But that reveals priorities, not availability. And so we need to ask ourselves, what is our priority? And so practically this morning, how do we put this into practice? Well, number one, set a schedule. As simple and rudimentary as it may be. Last night, I was going through and I was updating my calendar from January into February, and I was looking at my January calendar, and it was packed. It was busy. But everything I have to do is on my calendar. I know what I have to do, appointments and meetings and times of I want to go and visit somebody or whatever the case may be. It's all laid out so that I know what I have to do and when I have to do it. Number two, set goals. Listen, we're still in this new year, you know, even though January felt like it was 12 months all rolled into one. We're still in a new year. What are your goals for the year? Have some goals this year. Make a to-do list. You know, that today you go home. What do you have to do this week? Make the to-do list and then get it done. Fourthly, protect your rest. We looked at it last week. When it comes time to your family, it's family first, ministry second. Make sure that you have that family night. Make sure you have that time where it's just you and your family. And you know, you shut off the phone, you shut off the TV, you shut out the outside world, and you just have that time with your family. Protect that rest. And then fifthly, ask yourself daily, every single day that you wake up, what does God want me to do today? Because I guarantee you, every single day that you wake up, every single day, the Bible tells us in Lamentations, His mercies are new every morning. Every single day when He gives you new mercies, He wakes you up, He allows you to see another day. He has something that He wants you to do that day. He has something that He wants you to accomplish that day. What does God want me to do today? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Folks, this morning you cannot change yesterday. Yesterday has come and gone, never to be had again. And while you cannot change yesterday, you may not get tomorrow, but you still have today. Life is a vapor. Time is a gift. And stewardship is required. What are you doing with the day that God has given you today? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together to our feet.